Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 4th of July. It's 2017. I can't believe it's the 4th. It's a holiday here, so it's going to be kind of a busier day. I think it's just kind of nice to have the day off of work and have fireworks at the end of it and focus on barbecuing and eating food and seeing people, seeing each other, which is one of the best things about any holidays. It gives us time to see each other. It's like an extra day that just shows up into our lives. But I do ask you to have a safe 4th, to enjoy yourself, to just knock yourself out and really get to enjoy the people you don't get to see very much if you're going to see other people other than your families today. It's just something to give us a chance to say, hey, we only went to work 4 days this week. So here it is. Welcome. And today I'm doing a show that I have like wanted to do from time to time because there's something about being called spiritual, and sometimes I don't identify with it very much, even though I've fallen into this world because I saw Christ of this emotional freedom, and I never thought of, you know, what was the biggest thing that happened to me as a result of seeing Christ, and I realized it's totally emotional freedom. All of the sudden, I didn't have to be this one person with all these rules on how I needed to be in my life. All I needed to be was me. And I realized as well, I didn't know how to be me. I only knew how to be this person, you know, Muslim, and has to dress like this and eat like this and dance like this and marry like this and think like this and be like this, and if I'm not, I'm bad. And I have to say, when I first saw Christ, I didn't know who I was. And then I also thought that I had to jump religions. I had to jump into being, I don't know what sect of Christianity. There's so many different Christianities. Some do this, some do that. They all believe in Jesus. But these were just more than the likenesses. And it puts you in a place of, well, which one is right? So then I went back and I asked Christ and I said, well, you know what? I was Muslim. Initially, I thought you came to the wrong person. But now that I know you, now that I'm here with you, what does this make me? What am I now? Who am I now? I don't know. And he basically said, what do you mean it's irrelevant? Down here, we're chopped up into religions, and then we judge each other for it. Then we say, hey, you know what? We accept everyone, but we're the only ones going to heaven because we're studying God in this way. This is my religion, and my religion is right, and this is why it's right. So what happened to me? I felt like my entire life just went down this spiral vortex, and everything in it flew off my back on the way down. And then I realized, oh my God, God, the only thing and things that will come back into my life now that it's almost like I started brand new, like whatever I knew before literally disappeared. One night. And that now whatever came into my life by my hand, by my choice, and I didn't know if I could handle that responsibility. I was so used to being told who I am, that when everything I was told vaporized into midair just by seeing Christ, I didn't know who I was. It was like being in a body of a 35-year-old woman. There was a name for this, but I can't remember what the name was for it. But there's a name when that happens to someone. But it happened to me. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, not only do I feel this emotional freedom, I don't have to be different from anybody anymore. I don't have to tell people they're wrong. I don't have to feel like they're wrong, even though I might not say it with my mouth. Belong to one group of people. I don't have to dress the way I dressed all that time. I don't have to feel like I'm scared of God anymore. That was huge. I was scared to death, primarily because of what I was told. And then I have Christ telling me, you're loved already. I'm like, what do you mean I'm loved already? What do I got to do to earn it? Nothing. You're already loved. You have a big enough job being on earth. What do you mean big enough job? What have I done yet? And you went through that. And I thought, oh, that's big stuff? I found out all the big stuff that I thought I was still going to do yet in life. But I had already done some of the biggest stuff I was going to do. And what came later was just more learning. And that the learning is endless. And I kept thinking that one day I was going to learn enough and do enough and make enough money to not have to do all that anymore. That I get to rest. And I realized people started calling me by different names, saying I was spiritual. I was in another realm. I started writing books and they were put in the spiritual section or the religious section. And I thought, isn't that ironic that all my life I was driven by a pretty strict religion. It's not that I'm not that religion anymore. Christ told me, you don't need to change who you are. It's irrelevant. So I never changed who I was. I just became more of who I was. But the irony was, once I had emotional freedom, because I saw Christ, because I used the word Christ, because it's him that I saw. I got put in the religious sections. And yet seeing Christ took me out of that world and gave me the whole world. It took me out of a fraction and turned me into a whole. I wasn't 1/4 plus 1/4 plus 1/4 plus 1/4. I wasn't a half plus a half. Me. And it took me a long time to find out who me was, because I wasn't used to emotional freedom. I wasn't used to acknowledge my own self-awareness. My job was to be aware of everybody else. My job was to be aware of what I needed to do. And all of a sudden, when I felt that initially, because that was now 15 years ago, more now, I didn't fit into the world anymore. And I realized that if you think openly and you think of all people as being people, there's no place for you in our world. You have to be somebody who believes you're better or stronger or doing the right thing than somebody else. You have to be competitive. You have to do what it takes to get what you want, no matter who's in your way. And all of that meant nothing to me anymore. Didn't mean that much to me before, but I still was trying to do it because that's the only template we had. Whatever religion we're in, to be one of the best there are, to rise to the top of that, to do our best by it, scared me was not attaching God to religion. Because now, how do I do that? What does that mean? Who is God? What does he want from me? Why did he want it from me? And then my challenges that started coming to my life were coming hard and strong. And I kept thinking, wow, God, seeing you didn't make my life any easier. I found myself places going, why am I here? And then hearing in my head, what you need to see and you need to learn, to learn. Right here in my head, you are of service to people and these are people. I'd be like, wow, this is so far from what I was raised in. I've walked through so many religions of people who collect certain kinds of food and behave a certain way, and some of the most gentle people in the world I ran across. Some of the most beautiful people I didn't even know could have existed. I saw how important rituals were. I saw how important tradition is. I saw how important people holding on to their religions was. And then I saw the world start to transition. And everything Christ told me started happening around me. And I started finding people who are saying, hey, wait a minute, I changed, but I don't know what just happened to me. But all of a sudden, I feel freer. But it's hard for me to feel freer and go to a job I don't like. People who like their jobs didn't have the same issues. The people who are working and doing stuff they weren't in love with were having a hard time staying there because they were waking up. And I realized that emotional freedom is such an untapped feeling within us every day that we're not tapped in. That our decisions and how we dress and where we go and what we see and why we go there to see it is what we think about all day. But we're not taught emotional freedom and we're not encouraged to have it. And our world wasn't set up for us to have it in the systems that have been put into play. The systems that have been put into play have only turned us into like one person, like one worker, thinking in freedom. It's hard to do that anymore. But there aren't really alternatives, and the alternatives are you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you don't make enough money to live every month. If you're a thinker, if you're a philosopher, if you're a helper of other people, if you serve other people. Every time I work a job, I make great money. Anyone, because I don't have time. I've gone back and come back and gone back and come back because I feel like, but I have to make the money to survive. But then I feel bad in my heart because I'm not helping anybody. And I know that's what I came here to do, at least at this point in my life. You know, every time I hear a story of somebody who told me that they wrote their suicide note that morning or that they were going to take their own lives, and they didn't because of the radio show or because of the book or because we did an appointment or because I ran into them. And later, they don't just tell me right there and then. And I think, I can't not do this, but how do I? Because we aren't set up to do service to each other easily. To help each other easily. So then we just call these people spiritual and we discount them when they start to be self-aware. Because it's viewed as too much trouble to feel because it takes so much time for us to learn ourselves that they say shut down. We'll put you in school early. We'll teach you a bunch of stuff that you'll never use. We'll use your brain like that until you're at least 21, so that'll shut you down until then. And then we'll charge you so much for school that when you get out of school, you're going to have to jump into the work pool, because within 6 months, you got to pay us back for the money that we had you spend to learn the stuff you're not really going to use that much in everyday life. And we're not going to teach you about life. We're not going to teach you about money. We're not going to teach you about yourself. So that when you get out, you got to get out and make the money to pay us back, whoever the person who lent you the money is, or the entity that lent you the money, and then you got to pay all that back. Then you got to meet somebody and have a kid and buy a house and pay for their school and pay for your house, and everything has a price tag on it, and you can't even now afford to have a child easily. If you can even have one at all, if it's not like an accident or a, it's hard to plan these things now. It's not good or bad. It's just we're designed to chase our tails so that there isn't time to think. And if you do merge through this treadmill and you start thinking, there isn't a place for you right away. Because there isn't even actually time to. You're in so much trouble and you still try to do what you desire and you still try to follow your dreams and all of this. But in our world, this is the exception rather than the rule. But what got us to this thinking? And what can we do to build a bridge to our emotional freedom and still have a healthy and balanced life? And it's not something I can answer in the last 12 minutes of the show. But it's something that can instill ideas into us of how to balance and still get a chance to invite yourself into your own life. Aware. We can't turn it off. It's very difficult. I have met people from the really creative musicians to the actors to the engineers to the accountants to the teenagers who still have dreams to the younger kids who still don't even think past jumping in a swimming pool and what are we having for dinner tonight, to that innocence. And I found that the older we get, the starvation for love, because we are that love, and when we don't have an opportunity to feel it, we miss it. We miss ourselves. We don't realize that that is us yet. And we start to love, and then we don't know how to actually feel the feeling completely. We feel it, but what do we do with it? Where do we go with it? How do we share it? Who do we share it with? If someone does anything nice to us, smiles at us, if someone asks us, not to say, hey, how are you, as they're walking by, but to say, really, how are you? Sometimes we don't even know where to start to answer them. Acknowledging our self-awareness comes with seeing this entire world as a world. And then you realize that doesn't fit, because this country wants to do this to this country, and this country wants that from that country, and it goes on and on and on. And then you start to wonder why we chose that model to live by as people. Why did we choose working 5 out of 7 days a week? Why didn't we choose working 3 or 4 and giving people time to pay attention to their families so that we don't have all these emotional voids when we're older? Time self-awareness hits us, we're already thinking of retirement. But now it's hitting people earlier and younger. And I see the hope in my kids' eyes, starting their lives, planning their lives, loving their jobs. I see it. I see it in all of their friends' eyes. Because to them, they are navigating. They are finding their way in this world. And my kids obviously were raised by me, and they had a lot of, I want to say, mental openness because of what I saw every single soul has a value, and no one has more value than the other. And that the people that they will meet throughout life, that they are allowed to love them. They are allowed to not separate themselves from them and tell everybody how wrong they are because they don't believe what you believe. And shake their head and wag their fingers for the rest of their lives. That's gone. Even shaking their head and wagging their finger at themselves. That's all gone. That does not exist anymore. And I told them, in our world, but you in your heart will know that that's your strength. And it's an interesting shift when your child really believes they are part of the world. They honestly felt like everyone was someone to pay attention to love, to care about. Also knew when someone wasn't okay because they got to meet so many people. They also got to know when something wasn't right for them. Enough to know where to put themselves and where to take themselves out of. Because when you're running around with this emotional IQ, which we don't have much of yet, but we're getting there. But when you run around with an emotional IQ, that's looking at the world with a different eye, passion for yourself within this world, because you get to see almost from the outside in all the different systems, working systems, because you're not stuck in any one of them. So you almost get to have this freedom, this emotional freedom to see how it's working. And it's literally like a top-down, you know, in economics, they have micro and macro. And this is your macro. You get to see everything, how it all works, why it all works. And then they would ask me questions. Well, why doesn't everybody do this? Why does everyone separate themselves? I remember my son when he first started talking, and every day we'd be in traffic going home once I got out of work and picked them up from school and, you know, was on my way home with them. And he would ask me, you know, gosh, why is there always traffic at this time? I said, well, everybody gets out of work at the same time. And he just looked at me and he said, why do they do that? I said, good question. Why do we do that? Why does everybody get out at the same time? And then I remembered, in Los Angeles in 1984, the year before I moved to Los Angeles, they had the Olympics in L.A. And during that time, so that they wouldn't have traffic, they put people on different work schedules. Some people got there at 6 a.m., some at 7, some at 8, some at 9, some at 10. And then they worked accordingly. And then why didn't they keep that? Why did we just do that for special guests? Why didn't we keep the cars flowing? Because you're spending that extra time anyway on the freeway. Smarter. Because once you're out of the box, you get to look at everything. You're not so myopic. Because being myopic in one place makes you myopic in another and another. Well, I can't do that because they do this. Well, I can't try that, even though I'd love to, but I can't try that because they do that. There's a us and a them. And Christ keeps telling me there isn't an us and a them. There's only an us. Whatever's going on in our world, whether you feel like you're in control of it or not, it's a joint decision. Separate yourself from people because they're people. God made them too. He didn't just make you or your group or your place in life. He made everybody. Doesn't mean that everybody's right for you. It just means find your spot and you will. You came here to do something. You will meet the people you came here to meet. You'll know it when you see them. You'll feel like you knew them. You'll get that deja vu feeling. You'll get all these feelings. We're giving you enough signs to know. Because once you know yourself, you'll know those signs. You're here to know yourself. You're here to learn yourself through all of these challenges of colors, geography, religions, states of mind, different professions, different gifts. All these different ways that we can say, I'm better than you, or I'm not as good as you, or I am you. Whatever you decide to believe or think or feel, knowing who you are starts with you releasing who you were taught to be. Free for all, but it isn't. It is such a freedom that I get to love everybody. That's a gift to me because I came here to service people. So now I have the freedom to service anybody. And it's interesting that it took me seeing Christ to feel that freedom. It's almost like I got permission. All I ever really wanted to do anyway. And I found out how hard it is to just love people, not just love people like, oh, I love everybody, but to do something towards that feeling, to expand that awareness to other people, because it's time for us to do that. Like Christ told me, we were going back with our missions weren't done. What we came here to do, we're like, oh, well, I might have to go back down and finish that one. Because there's so many mute and pause buttons on earth at this point that we can get out of anything. Same days over and over and over and over and over again till we go back. Why do they call us spiritual when you start to wake up? Because now your spirit is involved. And it's the strongest part of us. It's the only part that can't be purchased. So it was the easiest part to shut down because there's a choice. You either use it or you don't. And we just were put in a place where there wasn't time to use it. Spirituality, the way other things are using it and under this umbrella of you got to know this or that or have this master or this guru or all of that, that's a different thing. This is just the freedom of the spirit. And then the self-love comes into play. Then the eagerness to be challenged, the eagerness to solve starts rolling in. You guys, it's already over. Sometimes this show just goes by way too fast. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.